Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome everyone for joining us this day, whether online or in person at our facility. So great to have you join us this day. A couple things just before I get started into our message. A reminder, I know that Pastor Tyler mentioned this earlier, but tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we're having our online communion service. We had a wonderful time as we celebrated that together online a month ago, and we hope that you will join us tomorrow night, again needing to do that because of these COVID realities, but please join us for our monthly time of celebrating the Lord's Supper tomorrow night online at 7 o'clock. Also, just a word about next summer. A colleague of mine, Reverend Dr. Tim Tang, is going to be our guest speaker. I have known Tim for several years. He is the pastor, one of the pastors on staff at East Toronto Chinese Baptist Church, but it has also become more recently the director of Tyndale's Intercultural Ministries Center, which is a ministry that works with the intercultural community in our churches, helping us learn and develop effective ways of serving and working together. Tim is a warm, bright, passionate, articulate pastor and teacher, and I'm thrilled that he is going to be speaking next Sunday at our service, so please don't miss that. Would you join me in prayer just as we turn to our message? Father, thank you that you are with us today. Father, make us aware of your presence and help us now as we reflect on this important topic. Guide us and help us minister to us by your Spirit. And we commit this time to you, to your glory and to your honor and to your work in our lives. For in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we have been encouraging you to reflect on the question, are you on course? A number of years ago, I remember reading about the skill needed to fly a plane, that is, without automatic navigation. And amongst a host of other things, a pilot must make ongoing adjustments to stay on course if he or she is to make their destination. Changes of wind and other weather conditions require constant adjustment, otherwise they would soon be way off course. As we navigate these stormy times, we need to be alert to the trajectory of our course and how we are responding to the swirling times around us. Otherwise, we might find ourselves in a place we don't want to be. How many people have woken up as if from a long dream and said, "How did I get here?" I hope this series has helped you reflect on a number of key areas that make important adjustments or course corrections. Last week, Pastor Tyler encouraged us to take a hard look at that incredibly important area of our thought life, our minds, and he asked the question, "What if you thought out loud?" And that disturbing question, what if everyone knew what you were thinking all the time? Oh my, what a question. Today, I want to ask kind of a closely related question. What if people knew what you were feeling all the time? What if people knew what you were feeling all the time? Of course, maybe you are the kind of person that finds it hard not to let people know what you are feeling all the time. As the saying goes, some people wear their hearts on their sleeves. And it's true that often our emotions, or at least some of our emotions, are much harder to conceal than our thoughts. Part of both the joy and challenges of being with children is that they are so uninhibited with their feelings. But as we become adults, we often struggle with our emotions. We are uncertain, uneasy, maybe even ashamed of our emotions, which, at part at least, is another emotion. How do you feel about feelings or think about them? Are emotions neutral? They just are? Or are some emotions bad? What is the intersection between emotions and our thoughts? Can I even do something about my emotions? Why do they seem sometimes so unmanageable? Or maybe even a more basic question, does God even care about our emotions? How important are they? So many questions in this area. And my experience is that this topic is infrequently discussed, and then usually negatively. I'm afraid I am guilty of doing so too. Like many men, we are not so comfortable talking about our emotions. For many of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we would like to be much more like Spock, that fictional character of Star Trek played by Leonard Nimoy. Spock was a Vulcan, and Vulcans are unemotional beings. Everything is controlled by the mind. Everything is decided rationally, unemotionally. But of course, the intriguing thing about Spock was that he had a human mother. And so sometimes his character had to deal with those pesky human emotions, which would rise up in rather an unwelcome fashion. I think sometimes we envision the ideal Christian life as Vulcan-like, unemotional, always in control, never reacting, never allowing our passions to influence our actions. Some of us are maybe too much like Spock, uncomfortable, maybe even embarrassed by our emotions. But I want to suggest today that this is not the picture we should have in our minds of a healthy emotional life. The God of the Bible, in whose image we are made, expresses emotion. And the Son of God, Jesus, expressed emotion and was without sin. Jesus, as recorded in the gospel, expresses joy and delight, sadness, frustration, anger, sorrow. One of the most poignant texts is Matthew 26, 37, 38, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at these words, or hear them as I speak them. Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Now, of course, he had good reason. He was preparing for the overwhelming suffering of the cross. But let us not for a moment think that a healthy humanity, as it faces all the ups and downs of life, is unemotional. So, just what are we talking about when we are thinking about this emotional part of our being? I have been helped immensely by the work and writing of Pete Scazzaro, the founding pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship in Queens, New York, and whose work and writing I heartily commend. In his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, he writes, "There are hundreds of emotions, each with their variations, blends, and hundreds of particular nuances. Researchers have classified them into 8 main families," and I'm going to have these on the screen for you so you can just kind of reflect briefly on this wide range of emotions. First, anger, along with fury, hostility, irritability, annoyance. Sadness, including grief, self-pity, despair, dejection, loneliness. Fear, including anxiety, edginess, nervousness, fright, terror, apprehension. Enjoyment, including joy, relief, contentment, delight, thrill, euphoria, ecstasy. Love, including acceptance, trust, devotion, adoration. Surprise, including shock, amazement, wonder. Disgust, including contempt, scorn, aversion, distaste, revulsion. Shame, including guilt, remorse, humiliation, embarrassment, chagrin. What a list. And I cite that simply to give an indication of the range of this topic and the range of our emotional nature. You see, it is being human to feel those things. And it is part of our natural response to the various circumstances and situations and life events that we all navigate. And to quote again Pete Scazzaro, just listen. At the very least, the call of discipleship includes experiencing our feelings, reflecting on our feelings, and then thoughtfully responding to our feelings under the Lordship of Jesus. Unfortunately, in my pastoral experience and personal experience, we don't give near enough time and thought to this part of what it means to be a mature follower of Christ, to be on course. And in so doing, let me suggest that we have kind of defaulted into one of two extremes. On the one hand, many live in a kind of denial that we are emotional beings, as I have already indicated, are kind of ashamed of many of our emotions. We're a little bit like the man who comes home from a rough day at work and slams the door and whose wife says, "What are you so upset about?" And he says, "Oh, I'm not upset, I'm just tired." Anybody been there? And most likely, he is tired. But there's a whole range of feelings that are going on in him that he may or not be in touch with. One of which may be anger, but it could also be shame or embarrassment or anxiety or a whole host of other emotions depending on what he's experienced that day. Some of us have accepted a lie that Christian maturity is not feeling or acknowledging these things. And so we kind of try to suppress them or deny them and just go on. But I have come to believe that very often, our emotions are communicating something to us that we need to listen to and pay attention to. You see, God is not separate, distant from our emotions any more than he is separate from our thoughts. To deny our emotions is to deny reality. God has given us an emotional nature for a reason, and we are invited first to feel those things deeply. But there is another extreme to this that we can fall into. And that is that our emotions are to be given full vent and expression at any time and in any moment, and other people are simply to take it or to deal with it. And though I expect this is more rare, it kind of seems to be gaining momentum in our culture. The expression of raw, unfiltered, uncontrolled emotion, particularly some emotions, can and is causing great damage. And unfortunately, if we have experienced that, we can too quickly conclude that emotions themselves are bad, rather than considering their expression separate from the emotion itself. A close friend of mine grew up with a rather explosive father and had to work through that very important distinction between healthy and unhealthy expressions of the emotion of anger. Growth into maturity, being on course, is not the denial of emotion, but the understanding and right expression of those emotions. Well, if you were not aware at the beginning, I trust that you are aware by now in this message that this is a huge topic. And this morning, I acknowledge, is really just an introduction. Many of our emotions cause us little concern unless we're experiencing a lack of them. Most of us would be glad to have more joy and more peace and affection, and certainly that is worth exploring. But today I want to focus in on one very significant emotion, and that is grief or sadness, our experience of loss, which is so prevalent right now. When we think about grief, possibly our first thought is that we are talking about the death of a loved one. And of course, so many are going through that. And it is a huge part of grief. I was introduced to significant grief relatively early in my life when my dad died quite suddenly when I was 24 years old. Although I was in seminary at the time, I had no real handle on how to manage my grief, my sadness, my loss. I remember going back to the summer job I had at the time after the funeral, and besides one awkward expression by a coworker, the expectation was that I was to function as if I was coming back from vacation. Except, I couldn't talk about it. Many people are incredibly uncomfortable with grief and the grieving process. And sometimes Christians can misapply Scripture in such a way that makes people feel that sadness and sorrow are somehow inappropriate. That is, that they should get on with praising God. Some are under some impression that sorrow is somehow a lack of faith or trust in the goodness and plan of God. That Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus with his grieving sisters is a powerful invitation for us to feel our grief and express it. Over our lifetimes, all of us will likely grieve the loss of a close loved one. And while we will not all express grief the same, we should all give ample space and time to grief, both for ourselves and for others. But I want to suggest that this emotion of grief is not only to be paid attention to at such significant events, but rather that all of us need to take note of the many and even daily losses that we experience. As we continue to navigate this pandemic, all of us are experiencing losses. Loss of normal routines, loss of familiar connection with friends, family, church community, loss of certain freedoms, some loss of employment or dramatic change in employment, loss of many things that we enjoy and brought meaning to our lives, loss of opportunities that we had anticipated, and so on. Some of us may be wondering why we're so sad or out of sorts, or even maybe a little quicker to get angry. And I think a significant reason may be that we're grieving. We're grieving. You see, identifying what is going on in us and why helps us to process our emotions in healthy ways rather than unhealthy ways. Much of the source, I believe, today of addictions, relational breakdown, even health-related problems comes out of a lack of acknowledgement, identification, and understanding of our emotions and looking at them in healthy ways. So then, how do we process or deal with our emotions in healthy ways? Well, I understand the Scripture's central teaching as that we are to bring them to God. And we are to invite His Spirit and His wisdom to help us, to maybe heal us, and certainly to guide us. We see this so powerfully throughout the Psalms. Listen as the psalmist David pours out his heart to God in Psalm 55. He pens these words, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm." Ever feel like running away? Feel overwhelmed or terrified? Feel like it's just too much? The psalmist David did. He did not deny what he was feeling. He did not stuff his feelings and say, "Everything's great. Praise the Lord." He identifies and acknowledges and expresses to his God what he's feeling. But also, and this is so important, he did not act on his feelings. He didn't run away. David never walked away from his responsibility and calling as king. Later in the psalm, he writes, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." This too was Jesus' confidence in the garden at Gethsemane as he prayed in the text I introduced earlier. He cried out in anguish, but he received the strength to go on, to do what he was called to do. The wonderful testimony and invitation of the Scriptures is that God meets us in the place of our deepest emotions. We can come to Him with it all, and He understands. And then He helps us to continue to do the things He would have us to do and He is calling us to do. Scripture neither teaches us to deny our emotions or be controlled or ruled by them. Rather, we are invited and urged to spend time expressing and reflecting on our emotions before God, and then invite God's help and power to do and to continue to do His will. And if we will let our emotions, they will actually help us develop a richer and more meaningful walk with God. For our emotions are actually a window into our souls. Are you on course with your emotions? I know that there is so much here that we could reflect on, and I would encourage you to continue to do so. But this morning I want to ask four questions for you to consider regarding your emotional health right now. First is this: do you regularly take time to reflect on your emotions and what is going on inside of you? Healthy emotional people are able to articulate what they are feeling. Are you able to articulate what you're feeling? Number two, do you express a range of emotions? Do you experience both joy and sadness, delight and sorrow? Do people only see you one way? Always angry, always upset, or always happy as if nothing impacts you? Do you express a range of emotions? Number three, as you experience different emotions, have you considered what God's Word teaches you about that emotion? I touched on grief this morning, but there is so much more Scripture teaches on that subject that helps us process our grief and heal, to entrust it to God, to restore it with hope, joy. Healthy emotional people aren't stuck on a negative emotion like anger or grief or fear, but are bringing them to God and inviting His Spirit to bring help and healing, even if the process sometimes seems slow. They're not stuck. And number four, how are others around you, especially those close to you, experiencing your emotions or expression of emotion? And are you a person to whom others can feel safe expressing their emotions? Healthy emotional people give and take and invite others to do the same. If you don't know how others are experiencing you in this area, maybe it's time for a long conversation. As I close, I want to acknowledge again that I have just touched on some aspects of this huge topic. My main point that I want to communicate today is that we need to accept and reflect on our emotions as part of our God-created nature. But also know this: God meets us as we turn to Him and express our emotions to Him. And He will help us and guide us and lead us. My spiritual life has grown and deepened through exploring this aspect of my life. And I invite you into that journey as well. As the psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and a significant part of that is our emotions. Let me lead us in prayer. Would you bow with me? Father God, thank you for this time to reflect maybe ever so briefly on this huge area of our life. And Father, right now in our world, in our lives individually, this is not an easy time. And many of us, if not all of us, are feeling maybe even the oppression of this time in our world. And we are feeling things, maybe some that we have never felt before. But Father, you have made us to feel. And that is part of being human, and is part of the way that we are to deal and cope with the realities in which we are living. But Father, we are to turn to you with our emotions. Part of the reasons that we are given this emotional nature is to help us come to you and develop even a richer walk with you. As we turn to you with our emotions, you will expand our souls and our walk and journey with you. And we will experience you in deeper and richer ways as you meet us, as you guide us, as you help us, as at times you heal and restore us. Father, we do need you. How we need you. In the storms of life, may we know that you will meet us, that you will minister to us, you will be our present help in time of need. May even now we turn to you and pour out our souls to you, that we might experience your special grace for this day. For in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church. So we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.